Dead, we know from the book of Acts that he had 40 days. I find it very interesting in St. John 21, verse 14, just before his ascension, it said in verse 14, and this is the time that he came to his disciples who had fished all night and had caught nothing, and Jesus asked them if they'd caught any, and after they realized it was him. In verse 14 it said, this is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was risen from the dead. I meditated on that and I thought, you mean in 40 days, this is only the third time? You wonder what he did in those other times, because when you read the occasions when he did visit them, he didn't stay with them long. What did he do in those other 40 days? We can only speculate, but we do know it said in the very last verse of St. John 21, verse 25, and there are also many other things which Jesus did, I guess so. The which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Now that's a very powerful statement. I'd almost want to go to John and say, John, are you exaggerating? But you can't exaggerate when you're led of the Holy Ghost. This is the truth. I believe every word in this book. I don't claim to understand it, but I believe it. Perhaps in those 40 days, there's no telling what he did in visiting others. We do know that, as I had shared with Brother Skip, and he believed it, he seemed to have an unrecognizable body at first, because they never recognized him at first, and then they realized it's the Lord Jesus. It's so true that the Lord can come to you and you're not aware the Lord is in something in your life. That was true in his appearances. In the Old Testament, it's often true where God would come and the first encounter, the person that was receiving a visitation, whether it be the Lord himself or an angel, often didn't know right up front it's the Lord. Moses didn't know when he was in front of the burning bush. I will turn aside and see why. Joshua, when he was ready to go to battle, saw someone with the sword drawn, and he asked him, are you for us or against us? Joshua, not knowing it was an angelic or a divine one from heaven, he said, nay, but of the captain of the Lord of hosts of Israel am I come. It's believed that could have been Christ, because he fell down and began to worship him. And had it been an angel, angels don't allow you to worship them. But again, he wasn't aware he was in the presence of the Lord. In the book of Revelation, when you find near the end of the book, John had a visitation, throughout all of Revelation, but near the end, he has someone who he believes is the Lord. And John, he gets down on his knees to worship, and this one taps him on the shoulder and says, no, John, I'm like you. I'm like your fellow brother. So he stood, and then again it happened again. But how often the Lord can be involved in our lives and we at first do not recognize this is the Lord. Or he can give you a vision and you don't understand the vision. Daniel had a vision. He didn't understand the vision, and he was seeking the Lord for 3 weeks before the interpretation came. Encounters with God are amazing. Some of them we understand right at first. whether it be the Lord Himself, sometimes circumstances in our life have a way of being orchestrated by the Lord, and we're not aware of it at first, that this is God really dealing with us. I've shared that I had, when I pastored in White Salmon, a series of dreams. I really was convinced they were from the Lord, but I didn't at first know their meaning. I was in the first dream, I see a big river, and I've got a fishing pole, and the line went down to the river, and I realized, boy, that's a big river. And I knew that I had hooked onto something. Then the next dream, I am having the pole in my hand and the line is tight, and I realize I have a whale, a huge fish. The next dream, I am near the bank and I look and I can see the whale, and I thought to myself, there's no way I can bring it in. What am I going to do? I then shared with the church of my series of dreams that I was having. And I kind of believed that the whale represented my father. But I wasn't absolutely certain because he was so anti the things of God. Then I had a dream, perhaps the fifth one. I'm on a pier. The water is different. The water is rather clear. And I'm catching fish, and I remember stacking these fish about my height, a little bigger, everybody's bigger, on the pier, about five of them. And when I woke up, I knew exactly what that meant. The Lord just spoke to me, and I knew that you'll be getting about five new families in the church. I shared it with a friend, and sure enough, that following Sunday, we had the five new visiting families that came, and was a nice shot in the arm. You never know when God's going to do something for the church. And then the last dream I had is I am on the bank of the river. I have the tail of the whale, and all I'm doing is crying because I can't bring it in. Consequently, as I've shared in times past, I became aware it was my father. He moved up, and a lady came and was in the church, and she, as my father would come, she said to me, I believe your father's come to the Lord, though he may not have come the way that we think one might come. And I wanted to believe that, but it's easy to believe something you want to believe, and I wanted it to be real, and I didn't want to put my father in a corner and destroy what had been done up to that point. I shared it with my sister back east, that what this lady had said and how I believe maybe the Lord had done this work, and she didn't believe so, and we didn't get in an argument, but I could tell that she didn't accept that, so I just left it alone. About 3 days, maybe 2 days later, she called me long distance and said, you know, Dennis, I believe you were right. Now, my sister knew nothing of the series of dreams that I had had in my church. She lived back east in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And so then I listened to my sister when she called me 3 days later and said, I do believe that Dad has come to the Lord. She said, let me tell you a dream that I had that I believe was from the Lord, and I rarely get dreams. There was this huge whale. And there was this huge, big body of water, and this whale had beached itself all by itself, or it had come up. I say by itself, I know it was the Lord. And I went and got my friends, and we were shoving that whale out. You ever see people, big whale, and they're trying to push it back out so it doesn't die? Well, she said, we were trying to push this whale back out into the waters, and I woke up. And the Lord spoke to me right as I woke up and said, that whale is your father. I have brought him to me, and you won't accept it. And you're shoving him back out into the water, trying to bring him in the way you think he ought to come in. And so she says, I believe that Daddy has come to the Lord. Of course, I began to get broken up inside and cry. And I said, you have no idea what you just said. You confirmed what I've believed that the Lord has showed me for some time. And I shared with her the series of dreams that I had. And so I rejoice. And my dad did come to the Lord, and it began to become known more and more as time went on. I shared about 8 years ago something very unusual that happened to me, and I did not give the meaning of it. It was, I believe, a miracle in the making. More has happened since then that I think I have a better handle on it. It almost falls in the category of the whale. About 8 years ago, no, further than that, 10 years ago, 8 years ago is when I shared it. About 10 years ago, I was in, or 11 years ago, I was in Phoenix, Arizona. And that was the first time when, set this up. Leroy Jenkins came here, and anybody that would deny the power of God on that man, it doesn't know what they're talking about. The man is gifted beyond most. It really disturbs me that people can find something wrong that bothers them and miss the greatest miracles of a guy being used. It reminds me of somebody going to Disneyland and griping about maybe a dirty toilet on the back 40 and miss all of the wonderful things. The man is greatly used of God beyond most people I know. Having said that, before I ever met him, I was in Eugene, Oregon, where we were living at the time, and I saw this fella. First time I'd heard of him, but I never really knew anything about him. And I saw his program and saw him ministering, and I knew it was real. I felt. So when I happened to go to Phoenix, Arizona, he happened to be having a service at a big church, Capstone, I believe it was. Even there, when I went to observe him, I came away thinking, this man is used of God. And there's no doubt in my mind the gift of the Holy Spirit is operating in him greatly. And then he started up a church, and he was renting out a big hotel room, and then occasionally the hotel room would be booked for other occasions, and he had a tent, a nice, beautiful white tent. I remember I went to the service. I've never talked to him. I've never met him, never had a word. I'm sitting on the second row. No, it was about third row, when the Lord spoke to me and said, he's coming to you next. So I knew by the Holy Ghost I was next. He had just had a word on somebody when he came back. I'm going to say there was a couple hundred people there. And he pointed at me and he said, you. And of course, I was aware he was coming, and I stood. And he asked me to come up where he was. I wasn't dressed in any particular preacher clothes or whatever that would be. And he hesitated a little bit. Now remember, God told me that he's coming to you next. And then he said, he always likes to do this occasionally. Have we ever talked? No. Have we ever discussed? No. Has anybody come to you and ask you any questions? No. He didn't do that with me, but I've seen him do that often to validate the word of knowledge that the Lord shows him things. He said, you are here from another state. You don't live. This is not your state, which was true. I was in Eugene. And he said, you're here to start up a business. That was true. I was. And then he said, you're a full gospel preacher. You kind of do what I do. I said, no, not totally. But and then he said this, you're going to make a lot of money. That didn't wow me a lot, because the business we had been in had been very successful where we had come from in Eugene, Phoenix. We didn't know yet. We had just started up three places in different malls, heavily invested. That was it. So I left thinking, wow. So I was those prophecies that come forth. I had to tell myself, and I've rehearsed this thousands of times in my mind, God told you he's coming to you. And he was right that I'm from another state. He was right I was to start up a business. And he was right about being a Pentecostal Holy Ghost preacher. Oh, by the way, then he said, see me after service. I have more to tell you, or something to tell you. I said, oh, great, now what? After service, he said, the Lord told me I could trust you. And when I go away to preach, I want you to fill in for me. I said, well, you don't even know me. He said, I don't need to. He said, the Holy Ghost does. And when you operate in the level he does, so I did one time. I remember him teasing me, saying, you take lousy offerings. Well, that's not my thing. But I always remember him teasing me about that. I suppose if you were gifted to the degree he was, it does have a tendency to turn people's pocket loose more when they see those type of things take place. We became friends. I remember his son saying, I haven't seen Dad latch onto someone like this in years. And we became pretty good friends, sharing the things of God and experiences in God. And I used to tell him, I'm no match, not that I'm competing or trying to compare, but we would talk the things of God. He would come to our store quite frequently and just hang out. We'd go to lunch. I'd watch him be used of God even at lunch. I'll always remember him walking into this Mexican restaurant, and the lady that seated us, as she's standing behind, he looked at her and he said, ma'am, he said, you fell last Tuesday. Just hold still. And he got up and he went over to her and he touched her on her shoulder and he said, there, now you're better. And she said, well, who are you? Like the Lone Ranger. And he said, it's not important who I am. It's important that you know the Lord. And she was healed right there. That'll get your attention. So the man, he walks. Remember in the Old Testament, there were many prophets, but there was only one Elijah. There were many sons of the prophet, but there was one Elisha, not to say. And so you do have degrees of anointing on different ones, and it's just a reality in the Word of God. Now, we became friends. One day, I'm walking into my store, and as I'm walking into the store, you could go straight ahead to the main entrance of the mall, or you could go, there's a concrete. And I remember as I walked, and I've remembered this 10,000 times in my mind, as I turn the corner, I'm looking down. They don't have landscaping like we do here. It's too hot. So they have lava rocks, little 3/4 inch in between. They might have a desert plant occasionally. But as I turned the corner, there was a shiny penny right in the corner. I saw that shiny penny and I took one step, and I have a habit of picking up pennies. Brother Jim will only do pennies in Home Depot and doesn't do dimes. I'll do dimes. But as I turned, I saw that penny, and I turned around to pick it up, and I tell you, before God, it was gone. And I'm going to prove, well, I hope to, in the meaning here. When I thought, I turned back around, and the penny is gone. As I mentioned earlier, oftentimes you can begin to have God deal with you and you're not aware of it right at first by the circumstances that are taking place. Be it a bush, be it that Jesus was with the two on the road to Emmaus and they didn't recognize him at first, be it the disciples who they finally drew the net up and then they knew it was the Lord. But we often are not aware at the very beginning of God doing something, of seeing the Lord's hand in it. But I turned back around and got down on my hands and knees and said, where is that penny? I know I saw a penny. I systematically went up and down, back and forth to find the penny. I didn't need the penny, but I wanted to find the penny. I know I saw a penny. I went inside, and I can't shake it. Now, miracles to me are not on trial. Something appearing out of nowhere is very believable for me, whether it be a rod turning into a snake in the Bible and the magicians doing it, or whether it be Jesus disappearing from the two as they had communion on the two on the road to Emmaus. I remember the time when he was here. We have it on CD, although the light was not enough to show it. But when Charlie McLaren, my friend, was here, and he called him out, and he asked him to pull up his pant leg. And there, because I was pastor, I had the privilege of getting right up and sticking my nose. And I remember seeing right over here, as Charlie pulled up his pant leg, there was a dark spot about the size of a thumb on Charlie's leg. I remember looking at it. He asked him to turn around and sit down. I'll come back to you in a minute. And he came back to him a few moments later. And he said, pull it back up, and it was gone. It was totally gone. I've never forgotten that. Charlie and I have never forgotten that. So to me, for something to appear and disappear is no big thing for God to do. Is anything too hard for God? No, nothing. So if you know miracles are real, then you don't have a problem when you've seen enough of them to. So now, but I don't know if this is a miracle yet. I'm beginning to wonder, is this me or did I see it? And did I think I saw it? No, I know I saw a penny. I went into the mall, sat in my office, and I can't escape this thought. So I left. That day, up until 3 o'clock, I made probably 4 attempts going back out, getting down on my hands and knees, and looking for that penny. It's so hot now, someone came along. Are you all right? Did you lose something? I'm not about to tell them I'm looking for a penny. But I went back in. It's about 4 o'clock, and now I need to go to the bank and make a deposit. And I, as I'm coming back from the bank, I'm saying to myself, I don't even want to look at that spot because it's going to drive me nuts again. But I knew I would, even though I said I didn't want to look. And as I turned the corner, there is that penny sitting right where I saw it in the first place. I just said, man, there's no way I would have missed that. There's no way I came back out 4 times and looked for it. It wasn't way over there. It was exactly like it was. It was there, it went away, and it came back. I called up Leroy, and I said, I want to talk to you about something. He said, sure. He was at his headquarters. I didn't tell him what I was going to talk to him about. As I drove over to the headquarters, I remember going upstairs, and I want to show you how God begins to, as that thing is footprints in the sand, or how he begins to give different little evidences to begin to draw you in more and more. As I was there, I saw him from about here to where Brother Don and Sharon are, and I see him with an envelope, and I see him putting a coin within the envelope. It looked like a penny to me because it was brown, and I couldn't think of any other coin that would be brown. So I said, as I approached him, I said, what did you just put in that envelope? He said, a penny. I'm thinking to myself, that's exactly what I'm coming to talk to him about, to see if the Lord will give him any direction. I didn't say anything. We did a few things, and then we went out to lunch. I'm sitting down, and then he said, okay, what did you want to talk to me about? And so I tell him about how I came in, I saw a penny, and then when I turned around, a second later, the penny's gone. I went into the church, into the office. I went back out 4 times. And then I tell him how I came back from the bank, and I said, there it was. Brother Leroy, there's no way that penny that I was fooling myself. And I said, I'm totally convinced God's in this, but I don't know what it means. And I said, so I'm just asking you if the Lord is showing you anything. And I appreciated his honesty. I don't want somebody speculating, trying to make up something just to appear to be spiritual. When you're him, you don't need to try to impress to be spiritual. He's got enough under his belt where he wouldn't be tempted to be drawn into that. He said, I don't know. Well, Penny says, in God we trust. And it was just thrown out the don't know. I said, well, I appreciate that. I was a little disappointed. Didn't know. What are you going to do? We got back to his office. 10 minutes has gone by. Nothing has been said about it. Conversation changed to other things. When he gets out of the car and we're standing there before we went up into his building, I was going to go home. And he said, you know, the Lord is speaking to me. He said, there is something about that penny. I said, really? He said, yes. He said, the Lord's telling me there's another penny right over here. And he takes off walking about 30 yards. And I'm like a little puppy following him. And I get behind him. And now remember, he doesn't know what I'm coming to talk to him about. He has no idea what it was. And when he gets to the place, and I can tell the Spirit of God is talking to him. And he said, the Lord tells me there's another penny right down here. And he points over the curb, and there's more of those kind of rocks, a little bit bigger, a little bit darker. And I said, here? And he said, yeah. So I get down on my hands and knees. I said, I don't see no penny. He said, no, the Lord told me there's a penny there. I said, well, I don't see a penny. He said, well, keep looking. I kept looking. I moved a rock, and there's a penny down there. I picked it up, and I said, Lord, my Lord. What does this mean? He said, I don't know. I just know God's in it. So for 10 years, I've wondered, what does it mean? Now, I've speculated. Let me say we had rough times in Phoenix. We didn't make the money. So I remember going to him one time and said, you said there'd be a lot of money. And he said, that didn't happen. In fact, it was a reverse. It hurt. He said, all I know is this, Dennis, I've never known the Holy Ghost to lie. And I believe that. Now, I'm not going to say which one, because I don't want to be responsible for anybody doing something and you being led by this. But about a year and a half ago, I had a friend whose son knew someone that was in a company and supposedly had invented something. And this invention would be unlike anything else. It was a medical breakthrough, be able to take x-rays without the radiation. And about a year and a half ago, I bought some of this penny stock. At the time, the stock was not even on the market because it was at one time, but the guy, apparently the CEO, filled out the papers wrong and did not dot all the I's and cross all the T's, and the SEC, who gave him the stamp of approval, Security Exchange Commission, apparently, I found this out later, the stock shot up big and people made quite a bit, and then it went back down and they pulled their approval from the SEC. So now it's for sale and they're planning on getting it back. I bought the stock, not knowing what would happen. About 4 months ago, 3 months ago, I get a call. By the way, want you to know the stock has been approved. They got back their SEC. Their next step is to get FDA approval. If they get the FDA approval, then this will be a good blessing for me. The day I found out it went back on the market. It wasn't on the market. But the day they got approval, it went back on the market, and it's done well. It's holding because they're waiting for the next process. But the day that happened, I called my wife up and said, hey, guess what? It just went public. And I said, honey, I wonder if this penny stock is the connected to the penny. I'm not going to say 100%, but I'm leaning that way strongly. It's an amazing story, isn't it? It was a penny stock. It didn't even dawn on me at the time when I purchased it. But I'm praying, oh God, let it come through. Let it come through. God is working in our lives. And I just wanted to share that with you tonight, that He is faithful. And now when I look back, I'm thinking, that could be, when it happens, so be it, when He said, you're going to come into some good amount of money. How many will pray with me? I that would be nice. God's very real. He's very real. He loves to bless, and He does it in the most amazing ways. And there's no formulas. I don't believe in formulas. I believe in serving God. I believe in living for Him, honoring Him, and then He has a route and something different for all of us. So I wasn't going to share that, but the Lord, when I was resting today, said, I want you to share it. So I share that with you. It's rather personal, but at the same time, I just want you to know the goodness of God and His greatness. It's quite a story. To me, that's quite a story. A penny was there. You see, it wasn't the business where I was to make the money. It was something else. It wasn't Hagar that the blessing was going to be. No, it's going to be something more beyond what you think, Abraham. Had I made it from the business, God wouldn't have gotten as much glory. We had already done quite well in that business. But this new one, it bombed out big time. So yet, when He said, you're going to make money, and He kept emphasizing that, I'm going to tell you how my carnal thinking thought of. He's just hoping I'll make that money and honor Him with it. Anybody ever have thoughts that you? But in hindsight, no. When God said to me, He's coming to you next, I take all of it. It's all of it or none of it. I don't believe God expects us to read His word and pick what we want and throw the rest out. And when He told me, He's coming to you next, to me it's validating, it's going to be real, all of it. And I believe it'll come to pass. I've always believed that. I've had so many dreams, dozens and dozens. I haven't shared them here, where I've been restored like I was. Dozens of them I've had. And I believe God will do that. I just believe it. I believe He's good to His people. So, amen. Hope you're glad you came to church tonight. Let's stand. Debbie, would you come? Lord Jesus, you're dealing with us when we don't even think you're dealing with us. You're working in our lives at times when we're not even aware you're working in our lives. You who counts the hairs on our head, you see our thoughts. There ain't anything about us that gets past you. And Lord, I don't want this to be just about me, but about your greatness and your faithfulness and your goodness. And I praise you. And I pray, Lord, that you lift our faith up. Keep us sensitive to everything that's working in our life. It could be a bush. It could be so many things. Lord, everything that happens to us, you're in control. You're bigger than us. You're stronger than us. You're greater than us. And we humble ourselves, I do, before you. And say, oh God, get glory. Get glory out of this that I may praise you and glorify you. And let your people glorify your name as well in each of their lives that you're working to bless and to minister. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you.